In today's gospel, Jesus asks the question, you cannot make the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? In Jewish wedding customs, we need to appreciate that a Jewish wedding was not the wedding, the reception, and maybe a gift opening breakfast the next morning. No, in a Jewish home, it went on for a week. And this week epitomized for the bride and the groom who were celebrating their wedding, the one time in their lives when they would be like a king and a queen. Actually, they would often wear crowns. And for a whole week, they would invite people to their home where they would celebrate their new found marriage, their newly established marriage. And indeed, it was in the context of that kind of a party that we know the story in John chapter 2 of Jesus turning water into wine at a wedding in Cana. And so here Jesus is saying to people that would have understood this very clearly, my coming into the world is like the bridegroom throwing open the doors and saying, come on in to the party. And by doing so, he is wanting us to understand something fundamental about our relationship to him. Who would the bridegroom invite to the wedding banquet? It would be those who are his friends. And one of the things that is fundamental about the revelation of God in the person of Jesus Christ is that Jesus, the Son of God, says, I call you my friend. At the Last Supper, as he was sharing in the first Eucharist, he spoke so clearly about his friendship with us when he said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. I have called you friends. For all that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Our Lord offers himself as an example of genuine, unreserved friendship, attracting with great tenderness and affection those who would come to him. Saint Bernard, in reflecting on this quality of our Lord's life, of his self-revelation, said, Jesus allowed all the tenderness of his heart to escape. He opened his soul completely, and from it there arose a most fragrant perfume. The perfume of a beautiful soul, of a generous and noble heart, and he became a faithful and self-effacing friend to all. St. Jerome said that Jesus' friendship was like a powerful magnet. It attracted people to him. So when Jesus refers to the new patch for the new garment and for new wine for the new wineskins, I think it's helpful to understand this in relation to what he's teaching us about the friendship of God. We learn so much about God in the Old Testament. But one of the things we do not see clearly is that we can call God our friend. Jesus, in coming to us, says, my ministry is like a Palestinian wedding banquet. The doors are open, and my friends are invited to share in this banquet with me. And for those of you who come to Mass every day, every day we have renewed at this altar our friendship with Jesus. Every day we experience at this altar a foretaste of the wedding banquet that will be ours in heaven. Every day at this altar, our friendship with Jesus is renewed so that our friendship with others might also be renewed. In the book of Sirach, in the 6th chapter at the 16th verse, are these words about friends. Faithful friends are life-saving medicine, and those who fear the Lord will find them. Isn't that beautiful? A faithful friend is life-saving medicine. And that's exactly who Jesus is. He is the Savior. He is the one who, because of his friendship, gives us that life-saving grace every time we receive him in the sacrament of his body and his blood. And those who experience the life-saving medicine of Jesus in turn are discovering what it is to be a life-saving friend. What does it mean to be this kind of friend? Well, first of all, it means that as a friend, we're open to what's called fraternal correction. It means that we are willing to receive the correction of others, and it means that in the appropriate time and context, we are willing to give it. When we discover some defect in a friend, we would seek to correct them in private. Corrections do a lot of good and are more valuable than a dumb friendship, which stands silently by watching a friend drown. But it does require a certain disposition to have this kind of friendship, to have this kind of relationship, be it in a marriage, be it in a close friendship, where those friends are open to being corrected. Friendship also has to be persevering. We shouldn't change our friends the way children do, tossed about. You're my friend one day, you're not my friend tomorrow. No, true friendship is not fickle. True friendship is not based on sentimentality. True friendship always protects a friend. A true friend does not abandon another in his hour of need. He does not forget him. He does not deny him. True friendship is the mainstay of life. We are, says St. Paul, to carry one another's burdens as true friends. And as St. Ambrose once observed, in adversity, true friendship is tested because in prosperity, everybody appears faithful. But it's in adversity that true friendship is tested. And as we learn to share in the friendship of Jesus, the bridegroom, as we understand that the new wine put into the new wineskins, the new patch put on the new garment of grace is actually the community of friendship, then we will here at St. Peter's take to heart this verse that comes just before Sirach 6:16. Here, Sirach 6:15. Faithful friends, they're beyond price. No amount can balance their worth. We have such a faithful friend in Jesus. May our friends discover evermore that we are these kinds of friends too. Friendship that is beyond price. Friendship that is based on the bridegroom's banquet. Friendship that flows from the altar of grace and anticipates for us the friendship of heaven, where we will share in the wedding banquet of the Lamb.